good if it goes.
Ladies and gentlemen, after a long hiatus, welcome back to the Good Podcast. We have the usual suspects here. We got Prentice.
Yo, yo, yo.
It's your deep voice ass, Barry White. We got the notorious YWYTE, Shane.
Sensational.
And then we got the 219 Schwab. You got to come up with another nickname, man. All right, good talk. And back to it, we're getting right into the NFL. Now, I want to really discuss, I mean, a lot of you guys know me and know my position on black quarterbacks, but God damn it, man, Cam Newton has really won me over this season. And Cam is the black quarterback that we need, but he's not the one that we deserve. P-Jack, what do you think about Cam's season so far?
Well, you know, I'm happy that you started out the topic with this because I've known you for a while and your position on black quarterbacks has always been the same. So I'm happy we have a young black guy who is dominating to shut you the fuck up. Now, with that being said, you know, I'm not going to give all of Carolina's success to Cam Newton. You know, he's in the play. I mean, he's in the MVP hunt. I think everybody that's looking at box scores is saying he's not right there with Tom Brady because they're just looking at touchdowns and interceptions. But what he's done to get them those wins, especially in the fourth quarter, has been impressive. And Carolina is serious. He's not going to win the MVP. Don't get me wrong. Tom Brady is having an off the charts type season again. But Cam Newton is a huge component of what they've done to be 8-0 and looking like one of the dominant teams in the NFC.
And he's their emotional leader, man. And it's just like I hate those stat people that say touchdowns and interceptions. It's the intangibles. I mean, he's picking up big first down, he's taking hits, and you know, he's driving his team down the field. Shane, what do you think about Cam's play this season?
I mean, it's been on an MVP level, and like P-Jack said, the only person that's ahead of him in my MVP order is Tom Brady because of the year he's having. But I mean, when you look at Cam, I mean, you know, we've said this before, an MVP is, you know, what does that player do to make others around him better? And he lost his best receiver. Kelvin Benjamin's one of the, you know, last year he's one of the top three with Beckham and Mike Evans. They were the top three rookies in the league, and he lost him in training camp. And I mean, his receivers are Ted Ginn and Devin Funchess. I don't even know if I'd pick those guys up to play my flag football men's league team. I mean, you know, Greg Olsen's one of the better receiving tight ends in the league, but I mean, not many quarterbacks could be doing what Cam's doing right now. And it's been really impressive. It's been really impressive. It's been fun to watch because he does have a lot of critics, you know, a lot of unfair critics, in my opinion. And what he's done this year is honestly nothing short of amazing. I'm shocked.
Absolutely.
I thought Carolina, especially after losing Benjamin, I didn't think they were that good. I mean, they won the division at 7-8 last year. I didn't think they were very good. And, you know, they do have a really nice defense. And, you know, everything seems to be going right for them right now. But they're 8-0. And Cam Newton, there's a good chance they're going to be the one seed. And the playoffs are going to have to roll through Carolina.
And with the Funchess mentioned, Schwab, what do you think about Carolina and just how Cam's leading and what he's doing as a player and a quarterback this year?
He's been very good. I think right now, yeah, I'd probably put him second in MVP voting behind Brady. Losing Benjamin certainly hurt. I think Funchess has potential down the line, but he's definitely a rookie. Going into the league, I thought a lot of his problems in terms of drops were going to be they were more so a result of less than spectacular quarterback play at Michigan. But no, he...
Oh, my God. He blamed the quarterback play on a receiver's drop.
Not completely, but there were some passes that were less than ideal, let's say. But no, he's got to work on his catching. But
and Shane, to your point, you said he has a lot of unfair criticism. And I hate to be one of those racism type of guys. But, I mean, even in my own mind, it's just black quarterbacks, they're like the heavyweights. They come once every 10 years. We had McNabb, and before that we had Warren Moon, and we've had, two black quarterbacks ever win a Super Bowl. Do you think the criticism come or it's around just because he is a black quarterback?
Absolutely. I don't even think there's any debating that. You know, I mean, I'll come out and flat out say it. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, the old white men, they don't like the Superman dance and his celebrations and, you know, the old white man mentality is, oh, back when I played, we got a touchdown. We handed the ball right off to the ref. And that makes them not like guys like him and, you know, Odell Beckham and, you know, the flashier guys. And, you know, Cam Newton isn't a guy that's just going to sit in the pocket and, you know, throw the ball. A lot of his strengths rely on him, his ability to run, his ability to bull. You know, one of the most underrated things about him, too, is you get a 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, you know that it's coming, that he's going to run. You know. And he still converts. I mean, I don't know the percentages, but more often than not, he's – but to your original question, yeah, it's a lot of people don't believe in him as a, you know, a top level quarterback because he's black, and black quarterbacks, like you've said, have not historically been great in this league.
Prince, what do you think?
I mean, Shane, that was perfect. I mean, and honestly, it's, you know, I don't just cheer for the black quarterbacks because they're black. I think there's been some highly talented guys who's come through this league, and you just don't see them as getting that same opportunity as some of these other guys. I'm sorry, but a black quarterback drafted in the 6th round like a Tom Brady doesn't ever get that opportunity to become a starter and become a star in this league. It just, you know, a black quarterback doesn't get years to sit on a bench and learn and then take the reins over and be a star. You know, a lot of times that shit don't happen. You know, you look at a guy like an E.J. Manuel, who's been a starter for 2 years, is like, well, he just doesn't have it. It's over, you know?
Yeah, and he'll never get another shot.
And he'll never get another shot. It's done. You know, the only guy that I can consistently say who can get a job is Jason Campbell. It's Jason Campbell. Like, I've never seen him.
Didn't he get signed today?
I think the Indianapolis Colts were looking at him.
Like, they were Jason attempting Campbell to lure him out of retirement.
Yeah.
Jason Campbell.
He's the only black guy that I could ever think of that got multiple opportunities to be a quarterback in this league, and it's sad. And like Shane said, the old white man mentality is, you know, and he'll bring Barry Sanders up. Well, Barry Sanders did it. He scored a touchdown. He handed the ball to the ref, and he jogged to the sideline. You know, I understand that's, you know, that shit's fine and dandy. You know, but you know, a lot of people also you want to market your brand and you want opportunities and. You know, him doing the Superman dance is just celebrating. He's getting the crowd excited, and then he runs off to the sideline.
It's a form of entertainment, man. And
yeah,
Schwab,
go ahead, Prentice. Nobody says it when a Clay Matthews does his celebration or J.J. Watt.
Aaron Rodgers, you know, just, does the end.
Aaron Rodgers does. Check. Exactly. It's just when these young, good black players do it, it becomes an issue.
Schwab, wasn't Jason Campbell – didn't you make the Aaron Rodgers comparison with Jason Campbell?
No, it was Josh Freeman.
Josh Freeman, that's who it was.
It was the 1 year and the 1 year only, because the context.
We're gonna,
and I'm going to say it now, so it's on tape. Because
we're going to move on before you get into that shit in depth.
So no, he had the one good year where he was on par with Rodgers, and now he stinks. And that was the point of the original conversation.
Big time.
Can we completely go away from that? I'm trying to be safe.
And just transitioning to what Prentice was saying. Just like when the black quarterbacks do get the reins and they fail, you know, they don't get that opportunity. But we see time and time again, you know, this season with quarterbacks regressing, you got guys like Stafford, you got guys like Flacco. Peyton Manning looks like absolute garbage this year. And guys like Kirk Cousins, I mean, RG3, is RG3 still, is he hurt still?
No, nope. He hasn't played a game this year.
So, I mean, is this like what do you think about the regression? Is there something that defenses are changing this year, or is it just I can't even explain how bad these quarterbacks have gotten. I mean, we've seen guys that, you know, consistently put up great numbers. Andrew Luck has played like complete and utter garbage this year. What is it?
I think a lot of it. Go ahead, Kevin.
Because you mentioned a few different guys. You mentioned Manning. He's old and it's catching up with him. Stafford, it seemed like they changed their play calling. Whereas a couple years ago, he might just say, okay, screw it. Megatron's being covered by three guys. I'm going to heave it up to him anyway because there's probably about a 50% chance he's going to catch it. He's not doing that anymore. Yeah, 75 even. Sure. He's not doing that anymore. Who is the other guy you mentioned? Joe Flacco?
Flacco.
He's not elite.
In the come playoff time, Joe Flacco is elite.
Okay. He's the reverse Andy Dalton. Andrew Luck has been hurt, even though I guess Gregson didn't want to admit it, but he'll be the first one to call the Patriots cheaters. and that's just not a very good team. That offensive line blows, and they have no defense, and it's catching up with them.
So what do you think? What do you think, Shane? Like the regression that you've seen with quarterbacks this season, what do you attribute it to?
I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to figure out. And, you know, it makes you, you know, like, let me give you an example. Look at a guy like, you know, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, for the last couple of years now, Bears fans have been saying, you know, we need to get rid of this guy. We need to draft someone, develop him.
But who are you going to get?
Let's go get a free agent. Well, how many quarterbacks in the league right now are that much better than him?
Yeah, I mean, like, who are you going to get?
There's more bad quarterbacks than there are good ones.
And, way more. You know,
there was a time where even, like, there was competent backups. And I can't think of one backup in the league that's even average. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck played in, what, two games? And granted, it was against the Jaguars and the Texans, I believe. But he looks pretty good. And, you know, the quarterback position right now, this is a really odd year. And then, you know, you got Tony Romo's out. And, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's been hurt. Luck's hurt. I mean, the only quarterback that's playing at a high, high level is Tom Brady. And Aaron Rodgers has, you know, there's some issues with this team, the Packers right now. And Aaron Rodgers is not even playing close to his best football. The only quarterback in the league right now that is tearing it up is Tom Brady.
What do you think about Phillip Rivers?
I think Phillip Rivers
and Dalton and Palmer.
Well, I mean, Phillip Rivers, you know, yes, Dalton and Palmer have had really good years. Phillip Rivers is putting up fantasy points.
Yeah.
He's putting up fantasy points, and what's the team now, 2-7?
Yeah, there's a difference between a really good quarterback and fantasy points. You know what I mean? Kirk Cousins has gotten multi-touchdown games this year when they're down 20. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and that's Phillip Rivers. Andy Dalton, I'm sorry, I'm just
not so. You're still
I'm
not so.
I know I'm not alone here, but until that team, and it's not just him, until that team wins a meaningful game, and that's a game in January, I don't even care about that. They're not even. I don't even think about them. Like, yeah, they keep winning, but I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed till they win a game in January.
All right. Well, since you're talking about January, hold on. You're over 500 this year with the Shane's Best Bets. What's your record now, Shane?
I'm 9-5. I was 1-1 last week. I had Arizona State in college, and I had the Bears in the NFL.
So we got. I mean, I see guys. I see Prentice. You know, they're always talking about I'm betting Shane's Best Bets each week. They're 9-5. You're kind of leading them to the promised land. We need you to double up on that. Do you got any picks for us this week?
Yeah, I actually have two in the NFL. I've scaled back personally on college. I have not had a good year in college. It's been brutal.
And, it's brutal, man.
it's been brutal, and so I've really scaled back. I got two in the NFL. I'm going to start with the Dallas-Tampa game. Tampa's a one-point favorite in this game. I'm taking Dallas here. Look, these are two teams that have just have found ways to lose every game. They've been competitive, and they've just, you know, Schwab can tell you, they just find ways to lose. I think Dallas's talent is going to win out here. I think this is a good spot for them to get a win. Get away from Jerry's world. There's really no pressure. Go to Tampa. Get a win, and, you know, I like what Jameis Winston's look like for the most part, but he's still too turnover prone. I think this is a game where Dallas can just run the ball. Do what they've tried to do is limit what the quarterback has had to do, and that hasn't worked. But I think this is the game where that can work. And, you know, run McFadden. And Dallas's defense has been solid for the most part in this stretch of games. And I think they'll hold Jameis Winston down. And I think they're going to – I mean, it's not going to be pretty. You know, this is a game where you click submit, accept bet, and you close your eyes, and you might not even want to watch it. It's going to be an ugly game. But I think Dallas is going to win this game. And then my other one, Carolina's at Tennessee. Carolina's a six-point favorite. Gentlemen, it's not often I go out on this kind of limb. I got Tennessee winning this game straight up. Carolina, and first of all, I'm highly advising taking the 6 points here. If you want to wait until closer to game time, it might hit seven, but I think six and a half is probably the max here. Carolina's last two games, they played that Monday night game against the Colts where it went to overtime, and, you know, that was a pretty hard-fought game. They controlled the whole game, but they let the Colts back into it, whatever. I thought that this was a good spot for the Packers to come off. It was a perfect spot for the Packers last week with Carolina coming off the Monday night game and Green Bay coming off that debacle in Denver. Oh, I was completely wrong on that. But Carolina, you know, I like to fade a team coming off of two really good wins, because that's what they were. Those were two really good wins for Carolina. And, you know, Tennessee is an opponent that I'm not going to go ahead and say that they're going to go take them lightly, but look, they're not going to win every game. And now they go on the road. Young quarterback in Marcus Mariota, who's confident. And, you know, they fired Wisenhunt, and then Tennessee comes out last week, plays under the new coach, just like Miami did those first two games. Play under the new coach. They go to New Orleans, win in overtime. I said at the beginning of the year, and I was kind of laughed at, this Tennessee team, there is talent around the ball on this team. And I just think that, first of all, 6 points is too much. If Carolina does win, it will be less than six. This is a very confident bet for me, taking the points here with Tennessee. And I really believe that this game is going to be decided within a field goal, and Tennessee can absolutely win.
Here you have it, folks. The longest best bets ever. But we're confident in Shane. We'll get him to 11-5 this week. And, guys, I do want to bring something up. I believe it was yesterday that the New York Attorney General voted that DraftKings and FanDuel was it illegal that they said?
Yeah. Illegal gambling.
Illegal gambling.
In New York. In New York.
Do any of you guys play daily fantasy football?
No. Not that shit, I don't.
I did briefly. I lost 100 in like 3 weeks, and I decided I'm never playing this garbage again. It's a joke. And I'm hoping that eventually gets shut down. I tweeted this yesterday. One of the reasons is because the commercials and the advertisements, it's just like they're shoving it down your throat, and it's, you know, giving people false hope of, you know, some asshole. Joe C. from Denver, Colorado won $32,000 playing. Well, how about all the other assholes that lost $1,000 that week playing? You know what I mean? It's just
panic loses a shit ton of money every time I see.
Yeah, I think he's claimed he's quit, but I know plenty of people that have claimed they're quitting gambling before, and that doesn't end well.
Schwab, you play daily fantasy football?
No.
No. Schwab doesn't even have a dollar to
come
fucking
on. I kinda, I'm sorry, I set you up for that. All right, and then getting back to the NFL teams, that are undefeated. We said we'd revisit this in the middle of the season. Schwab, who did you say was the best undefeated team?
New England.
No, that's not who you said.
That's what I said was the best.
You see, no. Oh, you said, who did you say was second best?
Atlanta.
Atlanta Falcons.
They are frauds.
Did you say the Atlanta Falcons? That's a good pun, man. And we only got three left. So Schwab, you still sticking with the Patriots?
Yeah.
Shane?
New England, not even remotely close.
Prentice, do I have to ask?
Yeah, it's New England, man. It's New England by a long shot. I don't know about y'all, but I like Cincinnati. I like Cincinnati. I like what they're doing, but I like what Carolina's doing, but nobody's playing better than New England.
Do you believe – let's run down the list. Do you believe that Carolina is a Super Bowl team, or are they false prophets?
I believe they're a Super Bowl team. If you're looking at the NFC altogether, it's, you know, Seattle's not good. Dallas isn't good. You know, it's Green Bay and it's Carolina, and the Super Bowl is going to have to run through Carolina. You know, Carolina, I think, has a 3-game lead on the first round by home field advantage over Green Bay now. So it's looking like the NFC title is going to have to go through Carolina. And, you know, I think they're real. I think they can go at a home game in the playoff. I think I forgot Arizona. But I feel like a home game for them, they can beat anybody, and I think they'll definitely be contenders.
Shane, do you believe in Carolina, or are they?
I'm gonna go on the side of I am not a believer. As good as Cam Newton's played, as good as that defense is. I mean, I do because of the – look, I mean, the Aaron Rodgers factor is always going to – you're never going to give up on a Packers team if you're looking at it objectively because they have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they have a lot that they need to get fixed, and there's plenty of time. If you ask me right now who I'd pick between – let's leave Green Bay out of it and go by record-wise, I think Arizona's more complete top to bottom. I think they have a better offense. I struggle to see how Carolina's offense wins playoff games. You know what I mean? It's a big difference than, you know, looking good in these back-to-back regular season games, you know, winning these close games. But in January
– Yeah, but in January there's no shootouts. You got 20-14. You got 21-20 type low-scoring games where nobody's running on Carolina with Tom and Davis and Keechley. Like there's no better tandem in football right now with them two the way they playing.
Look, and I'm then not, you got I'm Norman not, like, on that. I'm not time. A Carolina hater. Like I'm not saying like if they go win the NFC, I'm not going to sit here and be surprised, or I'm not going to be like, right. Wow. But I mean, I'm just saying, you look at the offenses of Green Bay and Arizona, and they're probably more complete. And I would side with those two teams in a playoff game right now over Carolina. Now that's not like I'm not saying like Carolina is a fraud or anything like that, but that's not a team I have a ton of confidence. I mean, line up Ted Ginn and Devin Funchess in a playoff game, and you know if here okay, well let me ask you guys a quick question: take Green Bay or take Arizona against Carolina, and if Carolina's defense isn't perfect. Let's say Rodgers is getting the best of that defense early, okay, and he's being the Rodgers that we know, and he's winging it, and it's trying to turn into a shootout. Do you have any faith that their Carolina defense – I'm sorry, offense can keep up?
Yes, I've seen them do it against Seattle. Yeah. I've seen them do it against Seattle.
Well, what's Seattle's offense?
Yeah, but Seattle scored points that day. I mean, Cam Newton had to come back at the end of the game to get a win, and he got it on that defense.
Bob? Oh, it's laughable, Pat. It's an embarrassment to people that have played NFL football, and that, you know, I mean, it's embarrassing. It's not just the player. I mean, I don't want to get into that right now. But I mean, I remember the Green Bay Arizona playoff game a couple years ago. Arizona won 51-45. I mean, And Green Bay's defense was an embarrassment that game. When you have my final point about Carolina is this, is if that defense isn't playing perfectly and doing what they do, if they have an off game, I don't think they can beat Green Bay or Arizona, because I don't think they can keep up.
I don't know, man. Like I see NFL playoff like I see NBA playoff. It's what defense is playing the best. It's never been about offense. You know, you look at all them years, Peyton Manning scoring all them points. You know, you get in a playoff game, these games are low scoring. Who's playing the best? Who's rushing the passer better? Who's playing better on the outside? You know, there's not a better cornerback playing better than Norman. Yeah, who's, you know, Carolina defense is just, they have a star on every level, and they're playing at a high level. And I think come playoff time, you know, you're not throwing the ball. You know, Aaron Rodgers ain't throwing the ball 50 times. You know, you have to depend on Lacy. You have to run some clock. You have to play some defense. And I think they have a shot amongst anybody in the league out there in Carolina.
Gun to my head right now, if I'm picking the NFC representative in the Super Bowl, I'm going Arizona.
It's not the question. That wasn't the question. Are they contenders?
My guess... I don't think they're the Super Bowl team. I think Arizona is a more complete team than they are. This could be,
but
I guess, a little
bit
of a prisoner of the moment thing, too, having... just watched Carolina nearly choke away two games that they should have had.
Yeah, man, let's stop acting like Carolina is some fucking world beater right here. Schwab's right. They almost choked away two big leads. And I'm just saying, let's not anoint this team.
And Cam Newton, was that not one of the worst interceptions ever?
Well, he makes a good point, and I didn't even – I'm glad he brought that up, because Carolina's last two games, well, yeah, they pulled out the wins. You know what?
That's all that matters is a win.
Okay. A win to
We're talking, though, in the context of the standings. Yes, in the context of the standings, a win is the only thing that matters. If we're just here to discuss standings, then what's the point of the show altogether? You can just link to ESPN or whatever's got the list of –
Man, fuck all that. Like I said, Carolina is 8-0. You had that Colts team was fuck.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying the standings are absolutely what matter. But, you know, for Prentice to say...
Well, no, what Schwab's saying is...
The win's the only things that matter. Well, yeah, a win is a win. But, you know, what's the... I mean, if the point of the show was just discussing, oh, this team's better because they've won more games, then, you know, what are we doing?
But...
Can they win it? No. No. Nor do I.
Right. I don't think anybody can. No.
I'm gonna say that they don't go undefeated. I mean,
no.
I'm gonna say they end up. I haven't really looked at the schedule. I know they play Denver. I'm just gonna throw off. I'll say 14-2.
Yeah, I think they'll lose a couple. You know, it's not like they're. I think they've been down that road where they know 16-0 is not really as important as, you know, getting to the Super Bowl and winning it. You know, they don't want that. You know, getting there to the big game when they're undefeated and they lose again. Like, no, man, they don't give a shit about that. They'll lose a few. It won't mean nothing. They'll get back to the Super Bowl, and I think it'd probably be Carolina if they play.
Swap. I'm going to say they do it this time.
All right. And there you have it. That was the NFL for this week. And now we had We had a little bit of Sunday school. We had some pre-service. Now we get to the meat and potatoes. P-Jack, it's been a couple of weeks. I really want to know who dropped the church's money.
Yes, bow your head, close your eyes. For the moment, you know, we've been out of church a couple weeks. Happy to get back into church and drop this sermon. Going to let you know that Michigan State absolutely dropped the church's money. You have an opportunity to be one of the playoff teams. You have a remaining schedule that could get you into the playoff if you went out. And then you play Nebraska, who has lost to Illinois, who has lost to the Purdue Boilermakers, and you shit the bed and you lose. You lose at the end of the game. Yeah, great play. But you shouldn't even be in that situation with the Cornhuskers. And, you know, I don't think they have a chance of getting the playoff, even if they went out. You know, they have the worst loss of anybody that's left. And I don't know, God wasn't riding with them. And, you know, maybe it was that Michigan fluke shit. Sorry, God bless them, but fuck Michigan State. And I hope they bounce back and we don't see them back in church.
Holy Moses. You got to do 9 Hail Marys after listening to Who Dropped the Church's Money this week. But thank you for the sermon, Reverend Jackson. And that brings us to college football. The college football playoff rankings. I've seen you guys discuss this a lot, and it has fluctuated the last 2 weeks dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
Prentice. Let's start with – I want some – I don't know. I want to hear Schwab.
No, you don't.
What's your take on
– No, you do not.
What's your take on the college football rankings, Schwab?
I don't understand what Notre Dame's for. I really don't. Who exactly did they beat?
And Prentice, you're actually acceptable or accepting with Notre Dame in the fourth spot, aren't you?
I am, only because you can't make a case for anybody else to be above them.
Iowa, Baylor.
You can't. They
How
have not played.
Say Iowa is ahead of Notre Dame.
They haven't. Come on, man. Don't be stupid. Like, I understand. There is hatred for Notre Dame. I hate Notre Dame just as much as anybody. But you can – I'm telling you, look at the top 15. You cannot make a case – you really can't make a case for anybody at number 4. You cannot. And if anybody has to be number 4, it is Notre Dame. You can't fault Notre Dame for their schedule turning out to be in the way that it was. Preseason, you're looking at Georgia Tech, Texas, Temple, Clemson. You like, fuck, Notre Dame has brought it. And then Georgia Tech sucks. Texas sucks. Who else did they beat that turned out to be shitty? USC. It's kind of not their fault, but you look at Baylor, hasn't played anybody. You look at Michigan State, haven't played anybody. You look at TCU, all them teams in the Big 12, nobody has played anybody worth a fuck. To be honest, I can't even make a case for Ohio State. Clemson? And Alabama are locks. If they went out, they are in. But you right now, it's too early to tell. It's some games that's gonna happen. That's gonna shift some shit. And I said it last night to Shane and to Helmer. But honestly, the team to keep an eye on is Michigan at 14, because there are some games that have to play out that's gonna really do some shifting, especially the Big 12. You got Notre Dame and Stanford, so somebody's done there. The SEC is going to play itself out with Alabama and Florida. You got Michigan, who has it at Penn State, at Ohio State, and then you have an opportunity to play maybe an undefeated Iowa in the Big Ten Championship. You have to look at their resume and say, hey, you know, they went out to Utah, they lost first game of the season, and then they lost a fluke game with 10 seconds left versus Michigan State. I don't even think Michigan State even gets credit for beating Michigan in that game. Like, they have no impressive win. Like, I don't even give them credit for that game. So, I mean,
what do you have to say?
Who, you talking about me?
Yeah, you gotta say, hey.
And like, hey, like, damn. Like, it's like I said, it's too early to discuss, but it's some shit. Like I said, Oklahoma has to play. You know, I mentioned Oklahoma last night, and somebody thought I was crazy. I'm like, if you look at Oklahoma's schedule, they got TCU, no, excuse me, Baylor, TCU, and Oklahoma all ranked in the top 15 in the next 3 weeks. Like, you have to seriously consider their resume going forward. You know, you have to compare them in Notre Dame. Who's going to have better wins and who has the better loss? Yeah, Notre Dame lost to Clemson. But Oklahoma did lose to Texas in a rivalry game, you know. So it's some shit that's gonna play out. It's gonna be some crazy chaos, I believe.
Well, I'll say this, and interpret as you will. I mean, I'm in no way saying that I expect Michigan to make the playoff, but I think whoever wins the Big Ten should be in it. Whoever wins the Big 12 should be in it, and whoever wins the SEC should be in it. Then if Clemson wins,
why?
The SEC is self-explanatory, no?
Yeah, so why does the winner of the Big Ten need to be in?
Look at the gauntlet you have to run to win that.
Gauntlet? There is no gauntlet. Purdue, Nebraska.
We've discussed multiple times how the Big Ten is the middle of the pack teams are below average, and there are maybe two or three teams, Ohio State, Michigan State, not this year, but Michigan this year kind of, and then there's a major drop-off. Like, Iowa's a surprise team. But did you expect this type of season from Iowa? Yeah, but I mean, this is what I'm saying. You're kind of giving automatic bids to conferences where
Iowa's beaten.
Yeah, who is Iowa beaten? You can't make a case for them. They haven't beaten anybody.
Hold on, they don't play Ohio State. They don't play Michigan State or Michigan. Any of those teams until the Big
Three. We got Illinois State, Indiana State, Pitt. Who the fuck is UNT?
University
of that's North Texas. Texas?
Yeah.
The North Texas Crunch?
No, so Schwab, I want to make a point to you, okay? You started this by, and let me be perfectly clear, I hate Notre Dame as much as you do, okay? But you want to talk about who Notre Dame played? Notre Dame beat a team in USC that is miles, miles better than any team that Iowa's even played, okay? So to say that Notre Dame's schedule is a joke and then to come out and say that Iowa's gone through the gauntlet of the Big Ten when they haven't even played the three best teams in the conference. I'm doing the best I can not to call you you got my blood boiling a little bit. You got me a little riled up there.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you going to say to 13-0 Iowa, let's say, if they win the conference –
okay, but
sorry,
you're not
in because this team that lost.
The committee's already told you whether we like it or not. The committee's already said if Iowa runs the table, they're in. I mean,
running the table is going to mean a win over either Ohio State, Michigan State.
But yeah, and that's what we're talking about in the future. We're not talking about right now.
So I have no okay to Quan's original question. I have absolutely zero issue with the way the committee has it right now as it stands. I have none. Okay. But we have to keep realizing that this is all speculation because all these questions will be answered on the field. You have look at these schedules that Oklahoma and Baylor play Saturday night. That's an elimination game. That's the ABC primetime game Saturday. That's an elimination game. You lose, you're out. And Oklahoma State, who is a complete fraud. And they will lose a game.
Let me rephrase then.
The Big 12's only shot, in my opinion, is that if Baylor runs the table. And I'm not going to put any money on this game, but I think Oklahoma's going to beat them. And now let's get to another huge game. Stanford-Notre Dame in a couple weeks. That's an elimination game, which I believe – that Stanford's going to win that game, and if Stanford has a potential trip up game in Oregon Saturday night, and their history is good against Oregon, but watch out for that. And then they have Notre Dame, and then they have a Pac-12 championship game.
They're going to get
Stanford runs the table, which I believe that they will. And I'm telling you guys this. I believe Stanford runs the table and they get in. Now,
I agree.
Whether that actually happens or not, I don't know. But I don't see how you keep Stanford out if they do, in fact, run the table.
Well, someone's going to have to get left out. That's the only problem. And this could all be solved if the College Football Playoff Commission would just listen to me and we'd have the Power 5 winners and one wild card.
The last thing anybody on this earth needs to do is listen to you. But I don't want
I don't
they
see
need to listen
way
to me here because this
Prentice
idea
brought
is
it up. Prentice brought it up. I don't see any way Clemson or Alabama don't get in because I don't see any way either one of them lose.
So do you guys – let me ask you this. Does Alabama have the best strength of schedule in the rankings?
Yes, and like I said, I think the reason I say that is because the amount of bye weeks that teams got leading into the game versus Alabama. I think, like I said, seven teams had bye weeks leading into their game into Alabama. That's unheard of in sports hit period, let alone college football. And you know, Bama had, you know, LSU. They got Mississippi State. They're going to have the SEC championship. They play some pretty tough teams on the road. I think the thing that pisses me off the most, though, is that just that SEC bias. Like, you know, a team like an Alabama could play Vanderbilt, and they'll, you know, the final score is 13-7. And everybody will say, well, damn, Bama had to go through the gauntlet of the SEC. It's okay to struggle, but yet an Ohio State can't play a IU and have the same type of thing. It's like, oh, they're playing bad. You know, it's like.
Right. Well, and I forgot, too.
Yeah, but you could, yeah, but like I said, you're comparing. It's what I'm doing is I'm just comparing Vandy versus IU. Vanderbilt is historically bad, so don't say this team is just going through the gauntlet of the conference and this team looked bad versus another team. No, Vandy sucks. IU sucks. So it's there's no difference, and I think that just comes with the SEC bias, and it's annoying. Like you said, you see it in the playoff rankings. You know, a team loses, they'll drop four or
Do
five.
Do you think LSU should have dropped to number 9?
No. I think they should have dropped the 5.
Yeah.
I think they should have dropped the 5.
Somewhere around there. And can I jump in real quick?
One of the ways I look at it, too, is, you know, I have the committee's rankings in front of me. LSU's number 9, Iowa's number 5. Find me one person outside the state of Iowa that thinks that Iowa can beat LSU on a neutral.
Okay. Sure, there's one on the podcast.
Probably, I don't know.
I mean,
that was
on.
Uninspired play calling by Les Miles.
Baylor,
no,
I will say too.
It wasn't.
I forgot.
Not, man. It
I forgot.
Not.
Northwestern is ranked 18th. Iowa beat them by 30.
It's laughable that Northwestern's even in the top 25. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think people are going to knock LSU for losing, but the thing about year in and year in out in college football is the teams that are there and winning at the end of the year is that offensive and defensive line, especially defensive line in college football. If you have a nasty unit, you are in it. And Alabama's front 7 was absolute. They showed the world how disgusting they are versus LSU. LSU had no chance. Like, here it is, the best running back in the country didn't have a shot to do shit. And his Heisman hopes are done, and I think Alabama, I think they show nobody is going to beat them because you cannot run on them. You can only hope to throw the ball. That's what I'm hoping Baylor gets in. I want to see Baylor air it out on them and give them a shot, but ain't nobody running on them. You can't. There's nothing you can do on their front 7.
Personally, I'm rooting for Baylor to get in because I just, you know, everybody talks about the, you know, the Big 12, their defenses are laughably bad, and you know, this style doesn't work against a team like Alabama, and that's probably true. But you know what? I want to see it. I want to see Ohio State go against Baylor. I want to see Clemson go against Baylor. You know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of biased here because of, you know, the styles of the excitement that you want to watch. I don't have a dog in this fight. I mean, I have a few teams that I really dislike, but I don't have a team that I ride or die for. I don't want to see Iowa and Clemson play. I'm sorry. Like, that game doesn't – Iowa doesn't interest me the least bit. And I don't think that
– But, I mean, from an entertainment standpoint, I agree. But this is – I guess they're trying to bill it as a March Madness for football. I mean, what if you get that upset that Iowa goes out there on a last-second field goal – and beats Clemson.
Right. Well, and that's the same thing that happened last year. Like I argued with Shane a good second half of the season last year. I thought Ohio State was a legit team. Shane just – he hated Ohio State. He didn't want to see them get in. Yeah. And, you know, once you get in, you know
– you got a shot.
Right. The committee is saying, we believe from what we've seen, this is one of the four best teams in the country. These games are going to be good. And that's what every playoff game was last year.
They're trying to bring that excitement into the football.
Defend myself to that real fast. It became apparent quickly that, you know, we all knew that Ohio State did have pro-level talent on their team. And, you know, my biggest gripe with them was the schedule and the, you know, losing to the to Virginia Tech at home. I thought TCU had a better resume. I thought TCU should have got in. Look at Iowa and even think that they are last year's Ohio State. I mean, that's laughable.
No. I don't think that's what we're saying at all.
I'm not saying you guys are saying that. I'm saying, like, you know, a lot of people I've also heard are sticking up for Iowa and trying to make that case, like, well, you know, people said this about Ohio State last year and look at what Iowa's doing. If Iowa wins, they're gonna get in, whether we like it or not.
Right. Well, I think the thing is that exactly. Iowa's not a sexy pick, and I think they want to just warm people to it now. Like, if Iowa's run the table, they're getting in. So you better watch them now. Watch them and see if there's anything you take from them that you like. I think they're just trying to warm people to it now that it could happen, and they're going to get in. I think Herbstreit said it last night. If Iowa runs the table, they're a lock in the playoff. And I think he's absolutely right.
This is all going to be a moot point because Ohio State will dog walk them all over the field in the Big Ten championship game.
From an entertainment standpoint, you're saying you don't want to see Michigan get in and play Bama 6-3?
Well, see, you know what? I want to make one quick point before if we have to move on. Prentice brought up last night, he said on the podcast, he brought it up on Twitter last night that, you know, watch out for Michigan. And I think the problem with that is – Michigan's best case scenario is they're a two-loss team. And you're going to go back and look at some of their wins. And, you know, even Michigan State, even though that was a loss, that looks worse now, especially Michigan State losing to Nebraska like that. And, you know, we're going to assume that Michigan State loses to Ohio State. And, you know, Utah's fallen off a little bit. Even if Michigan ran the table, I still think that they would still fall short. They'd probably land in like the sixth spot, and they'd still probably fall short of getting in the playoff.
Well, then that would be wrong. Whoever wins the Big Ten should make it to the playoff. And if that's Michigan,
here we go. We're back to circling the wagon.
Losses because two losses would be the top 25 teams. They shut out Northwestern. That was 38-0. And running the table would entail going to Happy Valley and winning. Would entail beating the number three team in the country right now, and then beating probably Iowa, who's top five right now, on a neutral field. So, I mean, I'm not saying that it'll happen. I wouldn't expect it to happen, but if it happens, they should be in.
I think you can make a case for them. I said it last night. I think the case will be made for them, but it's going to be hard saying a two-loss team is better than a one-loss LSU, who lost to a team that's in the playoff. You know what I'm saying? Like, LSU has one loss, and they have a loss to the best team in the country, whereas Michigan has two losses. Yeah. Granted, Utah probably finished in the top 10. Michigan State probably finished in the top 10. But they are two losses. Like, I don't think Michigan State gets credit for that win, but it does say W next to their name. So I think Michigan needs absolute chaos to happen, and I honestly think it's going to happen. I think they're going to be right there at like 5 or 6 at the end of it. I don't think they're going to get in, but I think if they win, if they beat Ohio State, you know, that's one team that's gone. That Bama, I mean, like I said, that Florida's going to eliminate themselves, you know, versus Bama, Stanford and Notre Dame. You got Stanford in the SEC championship game. I don't know if they're in the same division as Utah or not. I have to double check that. Yeah, the Big 12 chaos is going to go down. Like, it's going to be some doors that's going to open. And I think if you compare resumes of, like, a Michigan and Michigan State, I think you have to put Michigan in over Michigan State, even with the head-to-head win.
And that's where we'll end it. It'll be great to see everything unfold over the last remaining weeks of the season. Now we go to – we're talking about Big Ten bias. We got Schwab with the Michigan Minute. Did you pre-record it? Are you taking it now? Oh, you're such a pussy. Because Ace isn't on here, you're gonna... Oh, my God.
Look, this isn't gonna be some real long-winded thing. Michigan blew out Rutgers, and, you know, that was because Rutgers is Rutgers. And full game recap, player grades, position breakdowns, all that stuff. You know the drill by now. It'll be up at goodifitgoes.com. Take a look at that. You know, if you want the technical stuff, go there. Right now, I want to take just a minute and talk about something far more serious, far more important. It's Chad Carr, Lloyd Carr's 5-year-old grandson. He's been battling brain cancer for a little over a year now. He just got transferred to hospice care, so obviously things aren't going too good for him. Also up on the blog right now is a list of all sorts of different places you can go to help or support the Carr family, either financially or emotionally, even if it's just sending them a get well wish on Twitter with the use the hashtag ChadTough and let them know that they're in your thoughts in this real tough time. So that's your Michigan Minute. Go Blue and go Chad.
Well said.
Well, very well said, Schwab. And you'll beat Chad Tough. Good luck to him and his family. May God bless him. We'll transition now to the NBA. And boy, oh boy, I don't know if this is the second coming of Christ or what's happening. But Steph Curry, I'm going to say Jesus is greater than Steph Curry, but I'm going to say it's not by much. And he's been, like, the first couple of games, it's just been, Lord have mercy. What I think is the first game, what did he have, 27 in the first quarter?
Yeah, he went nuts. I think it was 20. It was definitely 20 plus in the first quarter.
And it's just like, I mean, is he? Would you say that he's already the greatest shooter of all time?
Yeah, he is. I've you see Ray Allen. There's a few other guys over the history of time. You've seen Steve Kerr, Mark Price. A few other guys, Reggie Miller, but, you know, the way Steph Curry can create his own shot and the way he comes off screen so quickly in release, he's the best shooter we've ever saw. And I'm not going to debate anybody otherwise. I'm going to think they're crazy if they disagree. I still don't consider Steph Curry a top five player in the NBA. I think there's five other guys that is better than him. But I think he's got to that point with me. I did it last night. Like, I think it was this morning I woke up. And, over history, you know, you watch Jordan and LeBron. And, you know, you may not watch the game, but you check the scores and the highlights the next morning. You're like, damn, LeBron only had 16 points. And I think I find myself doing that with Steph Curry now. Like, last night I think he only had 22 points. And I'm shaking. I'm, like, disappointed that he only had 22 points. And I think that's how good – offensively he is, and it's scary, man. It's scary the way he's doing it and he's going to get it.
And he's a shooter too.
Yeah, so he's a shooter.
He only had 22 points.
Right. I'm thinking a shooter, you know, he's a shooter and he only had 22 points. I'm like, damn, he must have been out there fucking around. But this man got 22 points.
And wasn't they played the Pistons that night, wasn't it?
It was.
I think they said KCP did a really good job on him. And he's averaging, it's been eight games. He's averaging 32 points and five boards and five assists. I mean, he's obviously one of the favorites for MVP right now. Shane, what do you think of the level? You see all these things with Under Armour and all the commercials and how much work he puts in. It's really truly amazing how he flew under the radar the last couple of years with Mark Jackson, and then he just exploded last season.
Well, and I think one of the things that people seem to forget, and you know, we're all caught up in just how incredible he is and what he's doing is, let's go back a couple of years. Remember when he first came to the league and he was as fragile as can be? That ankle just
– Yeah, that was terrible.
Never stay on the floor for, you know – for more than a few games at a time. And you know, you just kept thinking like, all right, you know, just another guy that just can't stay healthy. And he's just he's the greatest shooter ever. I mean, I don't know how at this point you can eat. 2 years ago, it was a conversation. Last year, it was a strong point. Now, I don't even know how it's an argument. I mean, you know, he creates his own shot. He spots up. He's just unbelievable. And, you know, we all watched him.
Him off the dribble is it's amazing to watch.
We watched him do this at Davidson and, you know, his run through the NCAA tournament. And I'll be completely honest. I'm sure Schwab will say that he predicted this. But I did not see any way that this – nobody knew he'd be this good. But I didn't see any way that – his game would even translate to the NBA.
Evolve this much.
I thought he'd be a bench player that you know could shoot. At that was his ceiling. I thought he wasn't going to be that guy. I was rooting for him because you know how can you not like the guy? I was rooting for him, you know, from the day he got drafted. And this is unbelievable. It's a nightly bait. He's must see TV.
I thought he'd be a good starting point guard. I wasn't thinking MVP or it's where we're talking now is him being the greatest shooter ever. So
right,
he definitely surpassed.
And he's not even in his like prime. This is what 5 years in, 6 years in.
He was drafted in
2010, wasn't it?
2009. Yeah.
He's 27. He's 27 right now.
It was the one where the Timberwolves took like 3 point guards.
They took
and none Flint, of them
they
him.
Took Rubio and they took yeah. Lawson. It was 2009, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it was 8 or 9.
I mean,
and traded Ty Lawson too, so strike two on that.
And some more stuff from the NBA. Who are you guys' surprise team so far? I know we're only 8 or 9 games into the season, but who's looking really good to you, Schwab?
Pistons.
Surprise. Detroit basketball. Stan Van is doing like he is the messiah in what Joe Dumars created, which I mean I'm trying to think of a good biblical reference, but Joe Dumars was Sodom and Gomorrah, and Stan Van cleaned up that filthy hellhole.
And Drummond's playing out of his fucking mind.
Drummond
right
now. Is, oh my
now,
god!
I, you know,
double double machine.
People, and I'm going to agree with Schwab. They're the biggest surprise to me, and people seem to forget Dwight Howard's best years were under Stan Van Gundy. Surrounded him with shooters, and I mean Andre Drummond. That's a monster right there. And I mean the numbers he's putting up are just crazy. But let's talk about some of the other guys. I mean Reggie Jackson. You know, I
did not expect that from him.
I kind of thought Reggie Jackson was just that typical, you know, the guy can flat out score. But he was a, you know, just a guy who made bad decisions and put up, you know, a lot of points in garbage time. He had to score on a high volume of shots. You know what? He looks like a damn good player, not just a scorer. And that has a lot to attribute to Van Gundy. I think losing Greg Monroe, too, and as good as Greg Monroe is, that really helped Drummond. Because now it's his team. It's, you know, it's all him down low. And, you know, they got some good young guys there. KCP is a – I think, Quan, you mentioned. I saw it on Twitter the other night. They were saying that he guarded Curry as good as anybody has this year. And, I mean, yeah. I just like what they're building there. And the whole Eastern Conference actually – and it's way early, but the whole Eastern Conference seems to be improved. You know,
yeah.
You got
– Oh, yeah.
Detroit is looking like a playoff team. Even the Knicks are – you know, the Knicks are
four.
The doormat. They're not the doormat of the East anymore. You know, you still got your top teams, you know, Cleveland, Atlanta, Toronto, the Bulls. They're all going to win a bunch of games. Paul George is looking like the old Paul George. The East isn't as bad as it's been in years. Now, like I said, small sample size, but I like what I see from, you know, the improvements there.
Do you think that – I mean, I don't see them competing the East, like the top teams in the East still competing with the West. Who's having a down year or who's surprising you as far as not being as good as living up to the hype as they were? I would definitely say Houston. It's surprising me with their play. The first coming out 0-3, but
I'm not,
you know, they're on that 4-game win streak
I'm
now.
Not, to be honest, I'm not surprised with them. I am not a fan of that team at all. I think
Prentice – Prentice, you're saying Harden's number two, the second best player in the league. Right?
No, hell no, sir. Hell no.
You did? Who said that?
No. I never said that. I would say he's fourth or fifth.
Oh.
LeBron.
You say he's top five.
He's top five. He's not top five.
He's not top five.
You know who looks extremely overrated to me? The Clippers. I believe their bench is way too
street. Way too street.
And I think we said that a couple weeks ago. It's just fucking fuck you ball.
So like, wait, you're trying to tell me that a lineup of Lance Stevenson, Jamal Crawford,
and Josh Smith.
And Josh Smith isn't playing good team basketball?
Give me Austin Rivers.
You put them at the Rucker, they might be as good as anybody. But it's incredible because the horrendous job, and I feel like this goes underappreciated here, the horrendous job that Doc Rivers, the GM, has been, is really a story to me. The fact that you can't put a team around that three-headed monster and Paul Griffin and Jordan, I mean, could you imagine how good they would be if you just took some of the other good role players around the league and just put them there? I'm not talking about another star. I'm talking about just a solid team around those three. That's a perennial title contender.
And that's where we'll end tonight. GoodIfItGoes.com. Make sure you follow Prentice, P-Jack, Sugar Shane, and K Schrader. What is it, 2325? I don't even know what those numbers are. Is that your weight? Good if it goes.